Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1197. We'll be reading the first five verses in this chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, page 1197 in your Scofield Bible. And let's stand, as is our custom here at First Baptist, for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And let's read together the fifth verse. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And let's pray. Father, we thank you. We can't thank you enough for such a book as this, your preserved word. We thank you for access to it. We thank you for the freedom to own it. We thank you for this day when we'll hear it preached once again. Bless, we pray, both preacher and listener. Help those of us who listen to do so with purpose, because this is so important. And we pray, of course, for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, the best years of our lives. We have a club in our church called the Best Years of Our Lives Club. It's for senior citizens. That's the biggest joke of a name I ever heard in my life. But I think that's a good name. But I want to talk today on the subject, the best years of our lives. I want to read for you without your turning to it. Just a statement the Apostle Paul made. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. It all starts with tribulation. I want to talk to you. Actually, that word tribulation could be very easily translated struggle. And it says, Paul said, we glory in struggle, because struggle worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Our Heavenly Father, help me as I speak today. A lot of struggling people in this room this morning. We laugh and cut up together, and that's the way it ought to be. But behind every laugh, there's a broken heart, a burden, a struggle. Bless us as we think this morning of the best years of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I made a brief stop beside Elijah at the juniper tree. I considered briefly having a pity party, but decided nobody would come. And I want to talk to you this morning about how I got out of my proposed or plans to have a pity party. Now, I'm not saying today that I never feel sorry for myself. I am saying it doesn't last long. I want to show you the progression, how that I canceled my pity party. I first relived my life. 71 years of struggle. I mean that. 71 years of struggle. At first, a struggle to exist. I'm talking about poverty. I'm talking about the depression. I'm talking about sometimes no food to eat. I'm talking about no shoes to wear, except some that weren't made for me that had holes and they put cardboard in the bottom of the shoes. I'm talking about a struggle to exist. Then, after those years of depression prior to World War II, I'm talking about a struggle in the Army. A struggle as a paratrooper. A struggle to make my training, to get my wings. After that, I'm talking about a struggle to get my degree. I'm talking about college, and you know what I'm talking about, the struggle to get my degree. After the struggle to get my degree, then the struggle in small country churches with not enough money to live on, having to mow yards of my members for a dollar a yard so we could have food to eat for Mrs. Hiles and me and later on our young children. I'm talking about a struggle to exist. I'm talking about a struggle in the Army. I'm talking about a struggle to get my degree. I'm talking about a struggle in small country churches. And then a struggle to start the ministry. And then a struggle to grow. All of the churches I've pastored have grown, and most of them have grown phenomenally. But it's a constant struggle. A struggle to keep buildings built. A struggle to keep the offering coming in. A struggle to keep the bills paid. A struggle with the Southern Baptist Convention when I would not support their schools that didn't believe this book. A struggle with the American Baptist Convention when I came to First Baptist Church of Hammond and we withdrew from the liberal American Baptist Convention. I'm talking about a struggle to grow. And then once we got to the top of the ladder as far as size is concerned, a struggle to withstand. When you get on top, you're a visible target and other folks like to shoot at you. Just like Notre Dame football team, and just like New York Yankees baseball team, and just like Muhammad Ali, the boxer, and so forth. And a struggle to withstand. And then a struggle to finish. 71 years of age. I know my days are numbered. My years are numbered. A struggle to finish. Now, with the dirty, stinking lawsuit and a filthy, vile accusation against some people in our church. Struggle. And I said, it looks like the struggle will never end. That was when I was considering my pity party. In fact, I may have already started it by myself, hoping somebody would come. But everybody was having their own pity party, and so I had nobody to show up. And so here it is. Depression, poverty, war, college, little churches, Southern Baptist Convention, American Baptist Convention, a fire that destroyed half of our buildings, a tornado that destroyed an educational building, and then battles and disappointments and attacks. And it just seems like that at 71 years of age, the Lord would let me go out of my ministry without a constant struggle. I continued thinking. I thought how happy my mother and I were that we made it. I thought how that mother and I were so, and please forgive me for being proud. Pride goeth before a fall, and I'm going to fall after a while, but a little justifiable pride, I think, came into my mother, and I, as we realized, we had toughed it through that depression. Then I thought, as I continued thinking, as I worked my way out of my juniper tree experience, I thought how pleased I was to get my paratroop wings. I mean, the struggle of it all. 90 push-ups. With a full field pack on my back. I can't do 9 now because I've got a full field pack on my front. But 90 push-ups and 25 push-ups with one hand. And running 10 miles a day. Struggle. Constant struggle. But boy, I'll tell you, when I walked across that platform and I got my wings, you're looking at one proud guy. I put those wings on my chest and that little insignia on my cap and those boots and my shiny paratroop boots on and my 82nd Airborne Division patch on my shoulder, and I was proud. Let me tell you something. I do not know of anybody that's ever endured a struggle that wasn't pleased and rejoiced that they endured the struggle. I don't feel sorry for folks that have struggles. I feel sorry for folks that don't have the struggle. And I got thinking about how pleased I was. And then I got thinking about Ms. Hiles and I had those little country churches and no indoor toilets. And you just can't imagine Beverly Hiles traipsing out to an outhouse. I wish I had some pictures of it. But, that little strut she's got, you know, walking to the outhouse with a little towel over her arm, with little embroidering on the towel, going out to the outhouse and so forth. But we made it. We made it. And now we have an in-house. And 2.5 in-houses we have. And what I'm saying, though, there's a certain feeling about the fact, oh, bless God, we didn't quit like some of you Howells Anderson College students are. We didn't wash out. And there's a certain feeling of pride. I mean, we made it through the Depression, Mama and I did. And I made it through the paratroopers, and Mrs. Howells and I made it through those early tough days of almost starving death. And then I thought how close we were in those country churches. And then I thought what an accomplishment I felt as we grew. And then how sweet when we withstood. Please forgive me. I have not much to be proud of. But I'm proud of the fact that I'm not a quitter. I'm proud that Dr. Robertson was right when he said Jack's a survivor. I'm trying to say, listen, you may not can sing like somebody else or preach like somebody else or have charisma like somebody else, but you can hang in there and stay. And then I thought, how badly I want to finish my course faithfully. As I look back over 71 years of struggle, then I thought of those for whom the struggle ended. When the struggle ended for Moses, he lost his temper, backslid, and didn't get to see the Holy Land, or enter the Holy Land. Why? He lost his struggle. When the struggle ended for Elijah, as long as Elijah was in the struggle and fighting the prophets of Baal and praying down fire from heaven and challenging the false prophets, Elijah kept on going. And yet when his struggle was over, he ran from Jezebel and felt sorry for himself and hid under the juniper tree and asked God to kill him. I thought when the struggle was over for Job, Job struggled. He lost his wealth. He struggled. He lost his health. He struggled. He lost his children. He struggled. He lost the loyalty of his wife. He struggled. But old Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. When the struggle was over, he got proud, and God had to show him. God said to Job, you look at there, Job, the peacock. How many wings did you put on the peacock? Job, look at the snow. How many snowflakes did you ever make? Job, look at the trees. How many trees did you ever create? Job, watch the fish as they swim, and the birds as they fly, and the beasts as they run. How many did you ever make? I'm saying, when the struggle was there, Job was okay. When the struggle was there, Elijah was okay. When the struggle was there, Moses was okay. Ladies and gentlemen, don't run from the struggle. By the way, they're the best years of your life. I thought about Jonah. When Jonah preached the great revival in Nineveh, the struggle was there, power of God on him. When the struggle ended, Jonah pouted. I've watched preachers, now listen carefully to me, I've watched preachers all across this country for 50 years. And when the struggle's over, many a preacher ruined his ministry. I think about a preacher up in New England years ago, fought a legal battle. Became nationally known because he fought the legal battle. He fought the government. He fought in the courts. He kept on going. He was laughed at, shot at, persecuted, hated, but he kept on going. And then he won the battle, and as soon as he won the battle, he wrecked his life, and today he's out of the ministry. I think about a preacher in California for 10 long years. He struggled. First he struggled as a missionary. Started 15 churches on a mission field and struggled as a missionary. And then came back and pastored a church in America. And the American Baptist Convention people decided to take him to court. And for 10 long years, he fought the battle and struggled and struggled and struggled. And then he won the battle and then wrecked his life and had to leave his church. Now you listen carefully to me. You thank God for the struggle. Thank God for the struggle. I thought of the great men in history made great through struggle. I asked the staff members this morning, and I said, name me a man whose biography was written who was not a struggler. Just read the biographies. Adoniram Judson struggled, went to the mission field, laid his first child in Burmese soil, laid his second child in Burmese soil, laid his wife who died in Burma in Burmese soil, a constant struggle. But read his life story. I was reading last night. What was the last story of John Bunyan? If John Bunyan hadn't struggled, you wouldn't know who he was. And by the way, if John Bunyan hadn't struggled, he wouldn't have had a biography. I'm saying that the history of the world has been made by men and women who struggle and stay with it and don't turn back. Look at Spurgeon, constant struggle. Look at Billy Sunday, constant struggle. Martin Luther, constant struggle. David Livingston, constant struggle. Lester Olof, constant struggle. John Rice, constant struggle. Dwight Moody, constant struggle. Billy Sunday, constant struggle. John Wesley, constant struggle. I'm saying the great men of history have made it through struggle. Paul said, I rejoice in tribulation. Paul didn't say, I enjoy getting beat. He didn't say, I enjoy prison. He didn't say it at all. Paul said, I enjoy the fruits of struggle. And then I thought of Bible colleges. I thought every great Bible college was great in struggle time. But they finally got the activities building they wanted so badly. They finally got that new pretty auditorium they wanted so badly. You give me that little old steel auditorium you got at Howells Anderson College. You give me those little dormitories that aren't air-conditioned, dormitory, Howells Anderson College. You give me that campus we bought and struggled to pay for it. It's been 26 years of struggle. Let me tell you something. Whenever Howells Anderson College loses its struggle, she'll lose her power, she'll lose her blessing, and the colleges all across America, they have the buildings they wanted, they have the air-conditioned dormitories, but they've lost their struggle. Hey, hallelujah for the struggle. Same is true of churches. I can take you to churches all over America that were great when they struggled. I was out the other day at Dr. Bruce Goddard's church in Southern California. 10 long years they met under a tent. 10 years under a tent. No air conditioning. No heating. 10 years. I was preaching out there one night. A lady screamed, a possum ran across her foot. I saw a tarantula walking down the aisle. I know some churches this morning, that'd be the first thing they ever walked down their aisle. But I'm saying that they struggle. They struggle. Now they have a nice building. I was out there, and I warned them the other day. I warned them, if you ever stop your struggle, you stop your joy. The best years of your life are the struggle years. I thought about the churches all across America. They get that final building they've wanted so long. And now then, their budget is being met. And their money is coming in. They don't have to try to build a little lean-to. To have 10 more people. Build room for 10 more people. I want to thank God this morning. I want to thank God that you have to hunt for a seat in First Baptist Church Hammond. Brother, I want to thank God for 38 years here in this old church downtown, the greatest church in America, and maybe the greatest church in the world, and maybe the greatest church ever lived, but bless God, for 38 years, it's been struggle after struggle after struggle after struggle after struggle, and if we ever lose our struggle, we lose our victory, we lose our victory, we lose our joy, we lose our joy, we lose our shout, hallelujah for the struggle. I even thought of marriage. Be careful, couples, when you finally get that house you wanted. Be careful when you finally get that car you wanted. Be careful when you have to quit pinching pennies. I'm not saying you should never do that. I'm saying this. I'll promise you that the people in this room today who are having marital problems, I promise you 90% of them have reared their kids pretty well. Maybe they got teenagers now. The kids are grown. The struggle's over. Let me tell you something, couples. You better watch it. Thank God for those tough days. Thank God for those struggles. Thank God for pinching pennies. Thank God when you couldn't... Why, my soul, Mrs. House and I got married as pastor of my first church. We'd go to a restaurant to eat. She'd buy a plate lunch. I'd eat the bread with ketchup on it. Take her a lemon from her iced tea and make me a lemonade. She ate the plate lunch while I ate a ketchup sandwich and drank lemonade, and that's why I hate her so much. I want to say this, though. You listen to me carefully. Young couples, you enjoy those days. Those days of struggle. Those days when if you eat out, it's once a month, and then it's at Burger King. Then you got to have a coupon. I'm trying to say that the greatest years of a church's life are the struggled years. Thank God. I don't like lawsuits. I don't like burdens. I don't like to be attacked. I don't like problems. But I tell you what I do like. I like to look back and say, brother, I weathered the storm. I made it through the battle. I'm still going. I didn't quit. I didn't stop. I thank God for the battle. Why? Because the battle brings victory, and victory brings shouts. Churches all across America have grown during struggle. They reach their the end of their struggle, and they reach the end of their joy, the end of their blessings. Bible colleges, and hey, I can tell you the Bible colleges, I'm tempted to call a few names of them, but they got a bunch of money now. Got a lot of money. Never have to struggle. I want to thank God, not because I enjoy it, but because the struggle. For 26 years at Howells Anderson College, this old man's had to struggle to meet the payroll every 2 weeks. For 28 years at Hammond Baptist Schools, the old man's had to struggle to keep the bills paid. And I thank God today. Brother House, wouldn't you like to someday have plenty of money to not worry about it? I'd love to do it, but bless God, my Bible says tribulation brings presence. Patience. And patience brings hope. Bless God, I want to tell you, quit griping about your struggle, little college wife. Quit griping about your struggle, college student. Quit complaining about your struggle, young married couple. And thank God you got the courage and the guts to hang in there. I promise you this. As you look back on your struggles, you will say, they were the best years of our lives. I don't know how many young preachers' wives have said to me across the country, Brother Hiles, the best years of our lives, we did not realize it, but the best years of our lives were in Hiles Henderson College. Well, okay, you folks are still here, realize it. You know why? You're struggling together. Listen carefully. You know why I love this man? You know why he loves me? You know why our souls are knit, as my choir director and chairman of our deacon board, as much as two men can have their souls knit? You know why? Because we've struggled together. We've fought some battles together. We've been attacked together. He stood by me like a rock of Gibraltar. We're not close because I'm cute and he's cute, because he's not cute. We're close because God Almighty has bound us together because of struggles and battles, and there are preachers all across America would love to have the relationship that I have with this man right here. They'll never have it because they don't want to struggle. You're not going to get it. It's battles that draw you close together, and it's victories that bring you close together. I'm saying thank you. I'm saying hallelujah for the struggles, because the struggles bring joy and victory. Morning, Brother Forrest Clegg in my office. And he said, I read this biography you wrote about your wife. He said, after I read it, I said to myself, you're a bum for not treating her better. You know why you appreciate this woman? Not because of her cute little southern drawl. Not because of her strut. You appreciate this woman because she's got battle scars, struggles. Read the book I wrote about her, and you'll see one of the toughest women you ever met in your life. Thank you. I'm saying this. Don't go around looking for struggles. Young preachers, don't go around looking for battles. Don't create some so you can say you had some. You just take your stand. They'll show up. I'll promise you, these men on the platform who stood with me through these years, this man right here, one of the best men I ever met in my life, for over a third of a century, we withstood, we fought in the same spiritual foxholes. We've dodged the same bullets. We've hidden under the same protection from bombs that were dropped to try to destroy us and destroy our church. We've stood together. We've fought together. We've struggled together. And that's why I love him as much as I do. And that's why he loves me. Now you listen to me. Don't you complain. Well, we're having a tough time. Rejoice in the tough time. You're making memories of the future. You're drawing yourself closer to each other. You're putting yourself, you're more dependent upon God. I'm saying don't look for the struggles, but when they come, say with the Apostle Paul, I rejoice in tribulation and struggles. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. As I thought, I was about to send out invitations to my pity party. And I was basking in the shade of the juniper tree. I thought of the blessings that have come through struggle. I thought of the closeness that's come through struggle. I thought that every great man in history was made great, no, was proved great by struggle. I thought of the Bible colleges that were great when they struggled and ceased to be great when the struggle stopped. I thought of the great churches that were great when they struggled and ceased to be great when the struggle stopped. I thought of the marriages that were great when they struggled, but ceased to be great when the struggle stopped. I decided to cancel my pity party and have a camp meeting instead. I changed my tears to shouts. I changed my complaints to praises. And I said, hallelujah. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Praise God, His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. So, Ms. Evans, you have a right to be proud, Ms. Evans. You have a right to be proud. You struggled, and we watched you struggle, and the fundamental world is made stronger because you struggled. Randy Rogers, Mrs. Rogers, be proud of your struggle. You took what some folks wouldn't take. You've been robbed of the right to provide for your family. You've told me two or three times how you long somehow to be able to provide for your family. But you took it like a soldier. And you took it like a trooper. And Mrs. Rogers, you pushed that wheelchair. And these children you've got, you've toughed it out. I promise you this. Be proud. You sit with a heart. Go on, be proud. I'm talking about a justifiable pride. Not that I made it by myself, but I made it with Christ's help, and we're still going strong. Be proud of yourself. So, widows, struggling, thank God for the struggle. You think my little mama that sat here on the second and third pew heard her boy preach every Sunday morning? You think that moment she saw her boy conduct a nationwide pastor's school and thousands of people came from all over the world? You think my mama didn't thank God for every struggle she had? Deserted ones, be proud of the struggle if you kept on going. Bus kids, be proud of the struggle if you kept on going. And forgive me if I allow just a little bit of pride to seep into my soul When I shaved this morning, I shaved a man. I didn't shave a great man, but I shaved a man. When I shaved this morning, I did not shave a talented man, but I shaved a man. I did not shave the man who can preach the greatest sermons in America, but I shaved a man. I did not shave the greatest theologian in America, but I shaved a man. So I say with the Apostle Paul, who later on was in prison with the thud of the soldiers' tramping feet coming toward his cell, and with the sharpening of the swords of the guillotine sounding in the background, the Apostle Paul said, I rejoice in persecutions. You mean, Paul, you enjoy being persecuted? No, I don't. But I enjoy the fact that I made it through the struggle. Here the old man, as he comes to the last struggle of his life, he says, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight.